Hello and welcome to this edition of the A Question Time. I'm Mike Williams and today I'm joined by my wonderful Assist KD colleagues, Jonathan and Joe. Welcome, Jonathan and Joe. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to everybody who has actually sent questions in to us today. And I think it's fair to say there's quite a lot of questions relating to role clarity, which seems to be a bit of a theme at the moment. So I'm going to start with a question from Kola Adekanbi, who's asked, what is the difference between a business analyst and a business architect?
So, and I love it when Tom zooms in on my face. Thank you, producer Tom. So what's the difference between a business analyst and a business architect? Well, there's a massive overlap in the skill set and the tools and techniques that both the business analyst and business architect use. But I think there's a difference in perspective. So I often see business analysts working with a project focus or a specific product focus. So they're interested in the outcomes of a product or product development or for a project set of deliverables. The business architect, I expect to take a holistic view across multiple products and across multiple projects. So I think there's a big difference in terms of the perspective that they apply. They're both change professionals. They have an overlap in terms of the services that they offer. So we published myself and Victoria Banner at a very recent Business Analysis Managers Forum, a business architecture service framework as a start point for trying to define what are the outcomes of a business architecture professional. It's built using the foundational elements of the BA service framework that Deborah Paul developed and is been popularized by the book Delivering Business Analysis between Debbie and Christina Lovelock. But if we look at the business architecture service view, I'd say that business architects are involved in situation investigation and problem analysis, that they're very involved in understanding feasibility and business case development as another service. Our business architects get involved in governance, so how do we govern the changes across multiple products and or projects? Blueprint development and maintenance, so we've got a common understanding of the business through blueprints so we can make informed decisions, do impact analysis, do scenario analysis. A target operating model design is one of these services that business architects often offer and sometimes business analysts offer as well, as with situation investigation and feasibility and business case development. And then strategic roadmap development is the final service in terms of a core service for a business architect, stakeholder engagements and auxiliary service that's being used. And there's quite a lot of overlap with the business analyst, but ever so slightly different services that they're offering. I could talk for another 20 minutes on this, but I'm not going to. So Mike, does that start the answer of that question?
I think it does. Yeah. I think the one of the sort of follow-on questions for that occurs to me really is, as does it matter actually that there are these different roles with some overlaps and how does that, how can we handle the fact that there are some overlaps? What should we be doing? I don't know if you've got any more thoughts on that, Jonathan.
Yeah. So in a way, I don't think we should be hung up on the name of the role. I think we should be focused on the outcomes for our organizations. And I know some people that have got a very healthy disregard for role boundaries, not least Pip Hall of Talent. She routinely tells me that she doesn't respect the role boundaries in terms of what is a business architect or service designer or business analyst. And I think there's a healthy appreciation from some that this should be about the outcome that we're delivering, not, oh, I don't do that because I'm not a business architect or a business analyst or service designer. We should be thinking about the outcomes and collaborating towards those outcomes. And some BAs, business analysts, will do the work of business architects and vice versa in certain circumstances and in certain organizations. I think that's a good thing where it's appropriate because they're delivering outcomes for their organization.
Yeah, that's some good points there, Jonathan, I think. Joe, a similar question really from Nathan, who asked, what's the difference between a business analyst and a service designer? So I expect you're probably going to say some of the same things as Jonathan in terms of that, but there are, it is a very distinct different role as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so similar to Jonathan, there's loads of overlap. So actually, Jonathan and I spent some time mapping all of the techniques of BA and service design, and of the 150 plus techniques of a service designer, actually almost half of them overlap with the BA toolkit as well. So there is loads of overlap. I think probably the biggest practical difference is that the service designer focuses more on the customer experience, and the outcomes that a customer can get from a service, whereas a BA focuses more on kind of internal efficiency, optimizing business processes, and delivering solutions that that support customers and internal staff. So I think those are probably the two key differences. Another probably big thing to mention is that BA, business analysis, is a much kind of older profession. It's been around for, you know, 30 plus years, whereas service design is a much newer role. So there's a lot of information coming out about it. There's been a lot around winging it as a profession and people finding their own routes to deliver as a service designer. So there's definitely a lot of structure coming in now to give it more of that maturity that business analysis has. So those are kind of the kind of big differences. There are some frameworks that have been published as well, which we can share, but all of it is in kind of development at the moment. I know, Jonathan, did you want to comment in terms of kind of alignment with business architecture as well?
Yep, absolutely. So I think a business architect that understands customers and services outcomes, I think it's a lot more valuable than a business architect that doesn't understand customers and outcomes. And the same I'd say for a business analyst. There's a blurring between these roles. There's a grey area between them. And one of the things that I think that we should be doing is encouraging collaboration between individuals that perform these roles, because there's a huge amount in overlap in the toolkit, the techniques, as you said there, Joe. And there's a lot that these individual professions can learn from each other, because at the end of the day, it should be about trying to move forward the organization in alignment with its strategic goals and priorities, not having a turf war between business architects, business analysts, service designers, or any other role. That's not of value to the organization in terms of delivering outcomes for the organization. And it can get quite frustrating for some people in these roles where there is limited collaboration with the other professionals. But some of the best business architects I've worked with in my career are really good at what I'd suggest lean thinking. So lean thinking in terms of thinking about processes, systems, efficiency, overlaps, removing duplication, but they're doing that across the entire business. And I think that's something that service designers are particularly good at, and it's something that business architects in some pockets are also very good at. And there's a lot of overlap in terms of the theory and the knowledge base that these individuals are using in these different professional roles. The other point you made, Joe, about the relative immaturity of service design, I think business architecture's formed and there's views on what it is, but I still think it's got some way to go for it to be as mature as the business analysis profession is where I'm at with business architecture. I think it's further ahead than service design in maturity, but not quite there as in terms of where business analysis is in its level of maturity.
Would you agree, Jonathan, that there's almost like a trio of collaboration between the three roles, where you've got business architects, business analysts, and service designers, and the service designers are working with customers, the business analysts are finding out information internally and externally, and they almost need to feed into the business architect to give that full kind of picture of what's going on in the organization. So I think they just really complement each other as roles, and I don't think one can exist without the other in terms of that kind of information flow between the three.
I agree. And that business architect bringing it together, or it could be the service designer bringing it together as well. But some sort of bringing these roles and these outcomes together in a way that makes sense in the context. But one of the things I think is that for each of these three roles, they're all asking why, they're all asking what, how, when, who and where. They're the same base questions, Mr. Kipling's Six Wise Men, I think is the name of the technique. You can see it in the Zachman framework as well. And those questions are being looked at from different angles using slightly different tools and techniques and theories, but essentially they're the same questions. So I think there's a huge opportunity for change professionals to improve value co-creation amongst themselves for the benefit of their organizations. And the more we can dispel myths and look at the roles and provide role clarity, and the more we focus on outcomes, I think for the better, because it just helps us as individuals and for the organizations that we work for.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting point, really, that actually all of those different roles they're trying to improve things for the business, aren't they? And actually, if we've got that shared goal, those shared values, it doesn't matter if we've got overlapping skills, we should be able to work together. And you said it earlier, Jonathan, about co-creating value for the business by actually collaborating effectively across those teams. Mm-hmm. There are overlapping skills, but we've got a complementary set of skills. It's interesting that how that might play out in a small organization, though, because I think we're seeing lots of these different roles in large organizations. But where are those functions appearing in small organizations? Is it still invested in a single role?
So in some small organizations, it's one person doing a little bit of business analysis. They might not call it that, but they're doing some analysis of the business at project or product level. They might be thinking about customers and designing services, and they might also be looking across projects and products. So in some small organizations, there won't be a team of people doing these individual roles. It'll be a single person who's looking to move the business forward relative to change. In some organizations, the person performing those roles might be the chief executive. So they're overall in charge of the organization, and they don't have specialist BAs and business architects and service designers, but they're essentially designing their business relative to the context that they're in. And so the chief service designer, chief business architect, the chief business analyst in some very small organizations is actually the owner or the chief exec. And I'm thinking for kind of quite small micro organizations, that might be the case. Even some organizations of, say, up to 100, 250 people, they might not be recognized people in these roles of business analysis, business architecture, or service design. Joe, have you come across this? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just don't think you can be a purist in any of these roles. So as a business analyst, if you said, I am only ever going to do BA work and I'm not going to touch anything else, if there is a gap in the team, or say a project manager goes off on leave and there's tasks that you can pick up, or there's a service designer doing some work and they need some support with a number of interviews, focus group sessions, there's no reason why the roles can't cover for each other and step into that space. So in the past, I've done a BA role where I've stepped into some service design, some user research, a bit of project management. And actually, that's what makes the role fun, because you are doing lots of different disciplines alongside your core discipline. And it's that kind of that T-shaped element that allows you to step into all these different professions. So I just don't think there's a purist role out there. And if there is, I haven't come across it in, you know, a delivery space before.
That sounds very much like you're exhibiting the growth mindset there, which really leads nicely into a question we had from Fiona from Aylesbury, which was how can a growth mindset support change professionals in general? And I think you've summed up a few things there. But Jonathan, what are your thoughts on the growth mindset and how that helps?
So let me start by saying, well, what do I think a growth mindset is? So there's different definitions. It's essentially a belief that your skills and abilities can be developed through determined work. So it might be that you need a coach. It might be that you need to go get some advice or support, get feedback. But you've got a belief that you can improve your abilities relative to something. And that is essential, I think, for a change professional, particularly in a world where there's always a new technology, there's mergers and acquisitions, there's a new regulation, there's a new role that might have come into your organization, you've got changes of your stakeholder groups. If we take a fixed mindset approach, which is the opposite, is the fixed mindset would suggest that we don't believe our abilities can be developed or that they can improve. If we apply this to change, if we've got a fixed mindset, we don't think that we can change in a positive way. Whereas I think it's essential that a change professional believes that they can improve the organization. So I think they need a growth mindset both to themselves and to the work that they do in the organization. It's really important from a feedback, iteration and improvement cycle. If we're going to test and learn and improve on our products, services, on the things that we do for our internal and external customers, we've got to take a growth mindset approach to that, because that opens up the door for marginal gains, continuous improvement, learning lessons from errors where we need to course correct. It's just of huge value. And I think you can't be an effective change professional without a growth mindset. You can still do the job, but I think to be really effective, I think you need the growth mindset. I'm not sure if everyone would agree with me or whether or not that's controversial, but what are your thoughts?
I was just going to say, I think as a service designer or a business analyst, there's no way of doing your role without having that growth mindset. So both within a delivery space, you're looking for ideas, you're inspiring people to think differently about how to solve a problem and come to a solution. So I think you have to have that growth mindset. But you also need to understand the fixed mindsets as well, because sometimes you'll come across stakeholders who, for whatever reason, they have to work in a certain way. They've been forced into a fixed mindset, and actually working with them to try and unlock some of those problems that are causing that to happen, you need to understand both to be able to navigate how to overcome it. So fixed mindset isn't always a bad thing, because sometimes you can overcome a fixed mindset and then bring people on the change journey with you towards that growth. So I don't know. I think you need to understand it. And I think the service designers and business analysts absolutely have to embody the growth mindset in everything they do.
I was going to say, I think there's a balance between fixed mindset and growth mindset. There are some activities that you will do where fixed mindset is probably the most appropriate way of dealing with it. But in the change profession, I mean, I think if you adopted a fixed mindset for every problem, you would have a challenge, because no two problems are the same. You can't solve the next problem with exactly the same approach that you've had previously. I think having experienced lots of different challenges, you need to have a bit of an open mind and think, okay, well, I've got this particular tool in my toolkit. I could twist that a little bit and use it a little bit different, a little bit differently. So I'm not following the fixed mindset, well, you'll only use that tool in this way. And that gives you a much more flexible approach to things and helps you solve some perhaps trickier and different problems. So I think it's very useful to have a growth mindset and that desire to learn. I think if you assume I know enough now, that's it. I know all the techniques I need to use. They're the ones that I'm going to stick to, because that's it. Yeah, I think. And your point about dealing with people with fixed mindset, that is quite a challenge, actually. Realizing, I think one of the most common phrases I've heard, which I think demonstrates a bit of a fixed mindset, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's like, okay, well, there's perhaps not a realization there that it is actually broken. Okay, I think we could talk for ages about growth mindset, but we might move on. I have another question from Raphael Thomas, which is another sort of role overlap question. Which threw me a little bit, because he asked about what are the overlaps between a business analyst and a functional analyst role. And there was a little bit of confusion over, or certainly for me, a bit of confusion over what was meant by a functional analyst role. But Jonathan, you've done some research on that.
I've done some research, yes. And it stumped me when I first saw this question. I was kind of like, ooh, what's the functional analyst? So I've done some research and did some reading and talked to some people that know of or work with functional analysts. And my understanding of it, and one of the troubles with roles, is that there are not universally agreed definitions of roles. And so each person has a different view of what a role does. depending upon their own experience of it. So there isn't, to my knowledge, an industry body with a very clear definition of this is a functional analyst that I could look at to say that here's the services of a functional analyst. Perhaps I'm wrong. But my understanding is that a functional analyst is often working with the problem of how do I implement a piece of software into multiple functions. So a big piece of software such as SAP, Oracle, as an example, has a base set of functionality, and the functional analyst is looking at, well, what is that core functionality of the software product and how might that be implemented across multiple functions in an organization? So they're getting to know each of the individual functions, the products and the services of those functions, the processes of the functions. And then they're looking at, well, how might you use the software inside that function? So they're looking at the degree to which the software would need to be customized to fit the processes of the function. And so there's a healthy trade-off analysis between customizing the software, which might degrade or limit software upgrade paths, might increase costs of software development. There might be security issues. There could be loads of different issues with regard to changing core software. But it's customizing it in a way that makes sense for the business. And on occasion, changing the business processes, maybe even changing the products, finding workarounds so that the software can be implemented inside a function. So the functional analyst, as I see it, based upon my research, is looking at the functional view relative to the software and the configuration of that software and trying to take a holistic view. So there's quite a lot of overlap between business analysis and the functional analyst. And when I was doing the research, I realized I might have done a functional analyst role in the past as a business analyst because I got heavily involved in the implementation of Guidewire solutions into insurance organizations. So claims management modules, policy management modules, those kind of things. How might you apply those software modules in the space of an organization and to make it fit? So I think I've actually done it, but I only realized that I did it as a result of doing the research into the functional analyst role. What have I missed? Joe, any thoughts?
I think you've covered it really well. I think the only thing I'd add is that a functional analyst can't cover everything. So there'll be gaps around probably the technical side, around the process side, around the change side as well. So I think the functional analyst will have to identify the gaps in their own skill set and their role to be able to get that complete holistic picture. So I think there's only probably a certain amount of it that they can do independently without needing to bring in other disciplines to support them. So there's probably a whole matrix of different kind of analyst roles that kind of complement the functional analyst as well, just to get that complete holistic picture.
I think I'm right in saying that the functional analyst sometimes looks at data migration. So the migration of the old products onto the new software platform, mapping the data of functions into the new software. There's quite a big call on data and information architecture relative to functional analysis, and that might be where Joe, the functional analysts, are bringing in the expertise. They can't do everything, and sometimes they'll be able to do some of it. Obviously,
this could be wrong, but I always sort of assumed a functional analyst would have kind of an SME area, so they might be, you know, a specialist in ERP, Oracle, or they might be a specialist in Microsoft and kind of the Power Apps and that kind of element. So they would always have kind of their specialty that they bring along. I don't know whether you can have functional analysts that cover multiple different platforms and products. I don't know, Jonathan, what was your experience?
Yeah, I guess they specialize, and it depends on the person, but I guess they specialize in a particular software product and that becomes their go-to. But I'd imagine that some of the listeners, some of the watchers might be functional analysts that are happy to move across software products. But where I think is people that are performing this role, they tend to be SAP experts or Oracle experts or ERP experts. They've got a niche. And yeah, I think that really detailed technology knowledge and sometimes business domain knowledge as well is really quite important for the functional analyst because they're specialists in configuring to a particular piece of software or within a particular domain.
I think I've probably done it. Having heard your descriptions of that role, I think I've done that as well, where I've worked on a large procurement of a software package, and rather than building bespoke elements for it, we've configured it using the capability on. So it was a large HR package, which we had to change our processes, we had to migrate data. So there was quite a lot of more of a focus on the capabilities of the software package, the data, where that would come from, how that would link up the interfaces to the existing other systems that it affected, like the payroll, etc. So quite an interesting one. So I hadn't realized that I'd probably done some of that as well. Okay, well, I think this is probably enough time talking about role clarity. Clearly, there are lots of different roles out there with lots of overlapping skills, and we need to be mindful of those shared goals. So think about the outcomes for the business, and that might help us remove the concern about what our role title is and actually what is our contribution to this collaborative exercise that we're doing, so that we can co-create the value for our organizations. I'd like to say a big thank you to Joe and Jonathan for today, and thank you to the audience for joining us. And thank you for any questions you've sent. If you'd like to send questions for a future episode of BA Question Time, please email them to babrew@assistkd.com. Thank you very much.